Mr. Pop.
The views and opinions of this show do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of this network and its affiliates.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Combat Sports Show, Monday, November 6, 2017. I'm your host, Brian, co-host Jason. We have a massive show for you tonight. Let's get into it. Jason, how you doing, buddy?
I'm all right, dude. How about yourself?
Doing good, man. Kind of got that MMA hangover going on. We had a very, very good weekend for MMA. UFC, Bellator, LFA, all the good stuff. What exactly did you do for the weekend? Did you watch them all or what?
I was only able, I had a lot of stuff going on, but I did go to my next door neighbor's house and I did watch 217. And boy, was I floored by the end of that night.
That was a great card. 217 was fun.
But before we dive into that, I saw something for the first time I've never seen before in my life, and I guess it's only Lake County that you see this shit in, but I was driving down the highway, and there was a dude driving a Skylift, you know, one of those skyjackers that you use in a warehouse to get up extra high. He was driving down the highway. He was sitting on an 18-pack of beer with a cop behind him.
Wow.
I think the guy got pulled over for a DUI. I don't know. But only in Lake County do you see that kind of amusement. Dude, I laughed my ass off. And I'm
I would be
Brian thought that would be me.
I was going to say, if you had a construction job, that could be you.
I'm not that stupid to drive up the highway on a Skylift sitting on an 18-pack of beer.
I don't know. I wouldn't go that far. But that's cool.
It was funny. It was very amusing. I did have to pull over to kind of watch and see what was going to go on.
Yeah. Well, let's get right into it. Since, like I said, we got a big show tonight. We're going to tell you guys, we're going to tell you all about UFC 217. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, that was a history-making card. History was made. We're going to tell you a little bit. We're going to get into Bellator because Bellator had a history-making card. Bellator 186 made history, okay? Bellator history, MMA history, I know. It's all the same. And if you want to call in, you're welcome to call in. The number is 646-668-8467. Let us know your thoughts on those cards. Before we do that, we're going to start off with some big news in MMA. This was crazy news. I read about this. I heard about it Saturday night. I didn't see the LFA card, but I heard about this. There was an LFA fighter, Legacy Fighting Alliance, Jason. You know them. They have a fighter named Clovis C.J. Hancock. Might not have heard of him. He fought at 170. He said he had a really tough cut. He weighed in at 205, but cut to 170. So 35 pounds. What's that say to you right there? That's a lot, isn't it?
Well, yeah, it's too much, but.
Yeah, 35 pounds is a lot. Well, during the fight, apparently he took a kick to the midsection, and he went down. Now,
I heard about
he didn't just go down. I'm going to explain it. Hold on. He didn't just go down. He died. He literally died right there. The cut man recognized something was wrong, called in the medics. They ran in, used the defibrillator on him after a little CPR, brought him back. He said he was in the hospital overnight. They used 8 bags of saline, 8 bags of water, and brought him back up to his normal weight and let him go. He literally died because of his weight cut. His kidneys failed, and his heart failed.
I think I even stated this on a show a while ago. They're going to have to do something before someone dies in the ring because they're cutting way too much weight. This is a perfect example of why UFC, MMA, whoever these sanctioning bodies are, needs to put a cap on how much you are allowed to cut.
Yeah.
I mean, if that guy
was It needs to happen. Because, yeah, these guys, somebody's going to die. It's just fucking pointless. You know, this guy cut, he almost died. He had that guy in Bellator, Data 5000. He almost died. You know, Kimbo Slice died, but that was after the event. But still, these guys don't need to cut weight like that. They do not need to do it. They need to get into a weight class. Like Johnny Hendricks, I know he's not winning now, but he's in a weight class where he's not killing himself cutting to 170. Cowboy Cerrone, he's not winning, you know, as much as he was, but he's not killing himself with a weight cut. Even George St. Pierre, he looked great, and he didn't have to cut down to 170, which he wasn't a huge guy at 170 anyway, but, you know, some of the guys are. It's just an example. If everybody moves up to their proper weight class, you know, a guy, what they have to do is get into fighting shape and find out what weight class they're closest to. So, say, George St. Pierre. He walks around 195, fighting shape, he's 190. So he just cuts to 185. Perfect. You don't try and go down to 170 or 155. You stay where you are. You know, 10 to 15 pounds max. But everybody wants they want an advantage.
I mean, I understand why they cut weight, because maybe the competition where they should be fighting at isn't nearly as stiff. And the money might not be there, so they cut all this weight to make more money. But is really making more money worth it for your life?
Well, they usually don't cut weight to make more money. They cut weight to gain an advantage over guys. They're cutting weight to keep it even. You know, they don't want to be the guy at 185 that really is 185 fighting guys that walk around at 220. That's, you're losing any competitive advantage. You're giving up the advantage. So, like Daniel Cormier, he walks at 230, 240, but he fights at 205. So just to get that advantage, he cuts all that weight and walks around like a butterball all the time. But he cuts the weight. Most of the time, you know, you saw the one time he missed weight and had to cheat. The way it is, it's a culture. It needs to change.
I mean, I don't know. Did you hear Hendricks? I guess he had to strip down.
Yeah,
and
I saw that.
He said the reason he had to strip down is he didn't take in consideration the weight of his underwear when he went to rehydrate.
Yeah, I'll say that. It's weird how underwear usually weighs a pound or something.
Yeah, underwear don't weigh a pound. I would figure a half ounce.
Well, see, for some people, we have something to hold up in our underwear, unlike you. You got nothing to hold up, so you don't really need that stuff. Some of us have stuff to actually hold, you know, so we got a heavier material.
That's neither here nor there, fucker. It doesn't matter. You're not using it anyway.
That took you way too long. You don't get a comeback. You took too long. We're moving on.
No, I had 30 seconds, you ass hat.
Hey, again, it took you way too long. We're good. We'll move on from now.
I had to think about that one too much. I had to think about something without getting too personal. And I still almost got too personal.
Okay. So, we're in agreement that this sucks. You know, it's very, very sad. But you know what? It actually could be best case scenario. He died, but he didn't die, you know?
Well, no.
They brought him back. Things should be okay.
Someone's going to physically croak in that ring.
Yeah.
Whether it be a male or a female. I mean, there's only one other person that I know that will cut that much weight to fight, which is Chris Cyborg.
She cuts a lot, yeah.
But you and I, we've been in agreement on this for, how long have we been doing these radio shows? A year and a half?
Over a year. Yeah.
I mean, we've both disagreed, and we've had different fighters on that disagree with the weight cut.
Yep.
They should just stay where they're at. I understand the way trying to gain an advantage. But then that means, okay, UFC should put MMA in general, the whole sport, should put a cap on how much they can cut, but they also put they can rehydrate to. I mean, you don't want a guy that cut weight down to 155, and next thing you know, he rehydrates himself at 180. That's not a fair advantage.
No. That takes the whole – that just makes it silly. It's just ridiculous. So moving on, we have you know this guy. I'm really a fan of this fighter, Alex Quinta. He's out in his UFC 218 fight versus Paul Felder. Now, Ally Quinta, he's been in the UFC a while. He left with an injury and decided he didn't want to do MMA anymore. It wasn't paying, this and that. Came back, knocked out Diego Sanchez. He's actually – Al is on a 5-fight win streak. He's doing very good. But replacing him is Charles Oliveira. He's going to jump right into that 155 fight. He's taking on Paul Felder now. He's 2-3 in his last five, but he's coming off a big win. He did finish Will Brooks of Bellator fame. What do you think about that one?
That should be a really good fight. Like you said, I mean, he – and when is this fight going on?
This is UFC 218, so it's next month.
No, okay, next month. So he's not taking this fight like on a 2-week notice. So he at least has a little bit of time to get back into shape.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I don't know when exactly it is next month, but he month and a half maybe. But this should be a really good fight. This should be a very exciting fight. I haven't looked at the 218 card. I don't know how stacked that one is yet, but.
No, UFC 218 is pretty stacked. And that's going to be fun. You know, that's a good card. I like that one. Other than that, there was not a ton of big news this week. The UFC lost Eric Perez. He signed with Combate Americas. He's a good up-and-comer. Not up-and-comer, but he's a good fighter, but. You know, not the end of the world. And with that, you know, there wasn't a ton of huge news this week. All the news kind of revolved around UFC 217 and the coming and going there. You know, we understand that.
I did hear, I follow Paige Van Zandt over Instagram.
Yes.
And she did say her next fight, she's waiting on the winner of The Ultimate Fighter.
Yeah, but that's not really happening. She's not actually going to get that title shot.
You don't think so? The inaugural the inaugural belt for that weight class?
No, she's not going to get the first title shot after whoever wins the Ultimate Fighter. No. The UFC already confirmed.
No,
that's not.
No,
that's
she's supposed to fight the winner of the Ultimate Fighter.
The winner is going to be the champion. The winner, they're fighting for the championship. Yeah, the winner is going to be the champion.
Oh, yeah, okay. I got that messed up. I thought that was just an inaugural belt.
Yes. That is an inaugural belt. The first title is going to be the winner of the Ultimate Fighter. They're going to be the inaugural women's flyweight champion in the UFC. That's the first champion ever.
I mean, that's what she said she was going to do. Now, if that happens or not.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. The UFC already confirmed that's not happening. What I did tweet out the other day, and I got a lot of stupid people tweeting about it. Well, just one, really. I don't have that many people following me, unfortunately. I tweeted out, everybody's going on about Johanna and Rose. And I said, because Paige tweeted that and everybody jumped her shit. Oh, Paige doesn't deserve this. She doesn't deserve anything. I said, you know what? Paige actually did better against Rose than Johanna. The one guy jumping on, oh, well, she just had a bad night. Doesn't matter. Don't care. Paige did better against Rose. Yeah, than Johanna did. She didn't quit in the first round. She didn't even tap out like Johanna did. Paige went out like Michael Bisping. She's all, you put a choke on me? I'm going to fight it until I can't fight it anymore. You pounding me out? I'm not quitting. That's what Paige did. Johanna? Not so much.
No.
And that's one thing I did bring up to my buddies when we went over. We were betting on the fights, and I said, you know, the one before the fight started, I said, the one bad thing about Johanna I've noticed is in each of her last three fights, she's been knocked down by women. But, well, obviously by women. Each of the last three fighters have knocked her down and hurt her. You know, her chin's not getting any better. And that's an issue.
Going to get older.
Yeah. Obviously, it became an issue. I didn't expect her to lose, don't get me wrong. I thought it was an issue. So, with that, let's jump into the Bellator card. We're going to talk a little bit about the history that happened Friday night at Bellator.
I just want to ask you one question before you dive off into that.
Go ahead.
So, and maybe this should just wait till we dive into 217, but there's been a lot of tweets about this and a lot of stuff going on social media. With what GSP did to Michael Bisping after being out of the ring for, what, almost 4 years or four-plus years, however long he was out of the ring, do you have to put him into the discussion? Is he one of the greatest of all time?
We will definitely talk about that when we talk about 217.
I wanted to just put a bud in your ear on that because that's actually an interesting topic.
That's an easy topic.
What's that?
I think that's actually an easy question.
And there's something else I want to bring up too. And we'll dive into that when we dive into the Bisping fight. But
yeah.
So what happened? What happened in Bellator this week?
So Bellator was a big deal. You know, that was a good card, and it was Bellator 186. You know how Bellator is.
Yep.
So what happened is Ryan Bader defended his title. He's taking on Linton Vassell. Linton's a very good fighter. He's got good submissions, not so great on the wrestling, very good striking, pretty well-rounded fighter. So Linton Vassell's very, very good. Ryan Bader, we all know, came over from the UFC, first fight in Bellator, won the title. This is his first title defense. He absolutely ran through Linton Vassell. It was ridiculous. I thought this was going to be a great fight. I predicted Bader to win, but I thought maybe fourth, probably a decision, because Vassell's a tough dude. Bader TKO'd him in the second round, big-time TKO'd him. Great fight, but the first round was closer, but he just ran through him. It was crazy. So very, very impressed with Ryan Bader. Then this is where history was made in Bellator. They crowned their first ever, their inaugural women's flyweight champion in Alima Mae McFarland. She beat Emily Ducati, again, because they had already fought, and actually got the submission. And it was kind of a triangle, then it turned into an armbar. It was a great submission, round five. In a fight, Alima was winning very, very easily. She's still going after it in the fifth round and got a submission. Great fight. It was a very, very good fight. Emily was in it the whole time, but she was just a step off, man. It was crazy. Great fight.
That is crazy.
Yeah,
I wish it was good
to see
Bellator match, but I was busy Friday night, and I wasn't able to watch.
Yeah, no, it was a good card. It was fun. Phil Davis fought. He won. Syed Awad knocked out Zach Freeman, who, as you might know, may or may not know, Zach Freeman got a little fame for knocking out Aaron Pico. And then they had the undercard, which I didn't get to see because they don't show the undercard. But a guy that I had actually talked to a while ago, Taiwan Claxton, on a different show, we brought him on, my co-host or my host over there, he brought him on, and Taiwan Claxton was a class act. He was great when he came on. Him and my other host, they hit it off great. They had a great interview, and I was really rooting for him, and he won by flying knee in the first round. It was very, very cool. I was very happy for him. Other than that, it was a very, very good card. Very solid, you know. typical Bellator card. You know, they're always good. So.
Oh, they are.
With that. Yeah. With that. Now we get to break in, break down a little bit 217. So, first off, Jason, let's get to your question. Throw that question at me one more time.
So, we all know GSP's been out of the ring for, I don't know exactly how long, but he's been out for a while. Let's say that.
4 years.
3+ years.
4 years. No, four.
Okay, it's been four. I didn't know if it was 3.5 or if it actually was 4 years.
Okay,
so,
it was 3 years and 340 days. Almost 4 years. He was literally, what was it, 12 days under 4 years.
So, my question to you is,
yes,
what GSP did to Michael Bisping, and as long as he's been out, with his record and his resume, do you have to consider him a GOAT?
I think so,
one of
the
greatest of all time.
He's right there with Fedor in my book. He truly is. Why don't
I
we,
thought the same.
Now, you saw the whole fight, right?
Yes, I did.
Okay, why don't you explain what happened in that fight? Let everybody know. If they didn't see it, they know who won. Let everybody know how the fight went down, because it was a great fight. It really was.
I actually, honestly, up until that third round, I had Bisping winning the fight. Now, I forgot. Well, it was a close fight, but I forgot how good GSP's chin really was. Because Bisping was hitting on him pretty well. He was throwing some punches. And then that third round came around, and he finally got him to the ground.
He took him down the first two rounds, but as you notice, remember we talked about this last week, Bisping's takedown defense and his scrambling, he can stop a lot of takedowns, and even GSP, he got him down. What happened? Bisping popped up like a spring. I mean, GSP landed zero ground punches those first two rounds. Zero.
But GSP was able to get him into that chokehold.
That was
and
crazy.
He had that thing buried deep.
Yeah. Now, I thought, was it the end of round one when GSP just missed that spinning back kick? He kind of rocked this thing with a jab. That Superman jab rocked him. That's what impressed me. It's that Superman. This didn't even talk about it. He said, all GSP has is a Superman punch, a jab, and a spinning back kick. That's all he has. And he still hit him with it. And it rocked him. He almost knocked him out with that head kick, which was crazy and very, very cool. Then on the ground at the end of round two, GSP had him down, but Bisping was the one landing the better punches, although they were just elbows. And you know how an elbow from the bottom isn't going to really hurt you, but it did cut him, and it looked bad, but it was just an elbow that was not meant to do that much damage, but cut. That was all he was throwing, was trying to cut him. And he did. That was very cool, though. The way Bisping fought, he was able to handle the takedowns and do more damage than GSP was until the end of the fight.
But the way he was able to lock up chokehold was very impressive. How good Bisping's takedown defense really is. He got him to the ground, didn't let him escape. And once he got that hold on him, it was just lights out from there.
Yes. Now, I was a little worried when I saw they were going at it. I saw that they brought in Big John for that fight. I said, oh, shit. Big John's going to have to get involved in most of the fight. And this was probably the first time I've ever seen a fighter pull his cup out because his cup broke and chuck it aside. Have you ever seen that before?
No, I haven't.
So Bisping, ladies and gentlemen, he actually took the cup off because it broke and decided to fight without one, period. He didn't need one. Coincidentally, he lost the very next round, you know, because GSP is not a dirty fighter, but anything can happen. And catching a kick from a professional fighter there could end your baby-making days, period.
Well, that would probably end his career.
It definitely could. Yeah. It's a bad thing. Even with a cup on, you see how hurt guys get by getting kicked there. That was impressive. Now, at the end of that third round, GSP caught him with a perfect counter left hook. But I thought it was weird because it hit him square in the face. It didn't catch his jaw or anything. Hit him square, hit Bisping square in the face. Bisping's down. GSP is just raining the elbows and punches. And I really thought they were going to stop it, to be honest with you. And then GSP backs up just a little bit and let Bisping up and then sunk it. He said he did that on purpose. That was very, very sly.
That was also very, very ballsy.
Yeah. You know what, though?
I mean,
what kind of got me?
You're letting Bisping back up to his feet. You're giving Bisping, you're letting him back up to his strong point.
Yes.
And it didn't really seem like he was phased too much. I don't know. I was scratching my head when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what is he doing? Just finish the dude now. You have him.
Yeah. I was impressed, though. What got me, though, was GSP was, you could tell, he was breathing very, very heavy by the end of that third round when they finished the fight. You think if Bisping had not got caught in that choke, what do you think? You think GSP would have been just gassed out?
It's hard to tell. I mean, possibly yes. And I'm kind of in agreement with you that if he wouldn't have finished him in that third, I think he would have been done.
Yeah.
Which would have really sucked because he would have he put himself there. He had that perfect opportunity to finish him right there.
Yeah, he did. Yes.
And he did.
But like you said, Bisping landed a couple of really nice shots in that fight. I mean, some very, very solid punches. And Bisping, he handled himself very well, you know, after the fight. He turned off the stupid persona where he was just making fun of how much bigger he was and this and that. And he conceded. He said, hey, I got beat by the better man tonight. I was healthy. I was ready. He's like, he just beat me. And that was cool. And he didn't tap out. He didn't take the wussy way out, which, you know, if you're in a chokehold, I understand. I'm 100% in agreement with tapping out. You don't need to get your lights turned off to prove anything, especially a guy that just pulls his cup out, fights without his cup. He did. That's cool. But I don't think you have to be a tough guy at that spot. If you do, great. If not, I don't think any less of you. I 100% don't think any less of you.
I mean, you don't need to risk brain damage to prove a point.
Yeah, exactly. Now, on to the other fight. Now, both you and I picked GSP to win this fight. So we were kind of,
yes.
That fight was pretty even. I think GSP was a bit of the, Bisping was the underdog. But the next fight, this was a hard one to pick. This fight really, really sucked picking-wise. I won in our pool. My buddies and I, we have a pool where we have to pick the fighter, the method he's going to win, and the round they're going to win in. And I was the only one to pick TJ Dillashaw to win this fight. And I totally got it wrong on the round, but I did pick a TKO. I thought it would be in round four. But after watching these guys fight, TJ Dillashaw and Cody Garbrandt, the way they were thrown down, now this is before the end of round one. I told my buddies, I said, this is not going to go four rounds. Those guys are throwing bombs. And sure enough, by the end of round one, you saw what Cody did to TJ, right?
Yep.
Was TJ on Queer Street or what?
Yeah, I even think I had Dillashaw. I picked Dillashaw. I was rooting for Garbrandt, but I didn't know what fighter we were going to see from Garbrandt.
Yeah.
But I picked TJ to win this fight. I thought it was going to go to a decision. But once I saw this fight take place, I'm like, there's no way this is going to a decision.
No, not the way those guys were throwing.
No, someone was going to get gassed.
Yeah.
And if what happened in that first round didn't happen, I think the rest of the fight would have been boring because both guys had just been too tired to even fight.
It's amazing, isn't it? How hard they were. Man, they were going at it. And it wasn't an all-out brawl, but that was as technical a brawl as I think those two guys could do. I mean, they were still trying to hold it in and not let all their emotion out, but they were going at it hard. You don't see TJ going at it that hard normally. He throws hard punches and kicks, but he's usually a little bit reserved. Cody's trying to knock out all the time, but not 100% with everything. He knows how to rein it in just a little bit and conserve his energy. I don't believe they were doing that very much here. They were letting most of it out. And Cody, he caught TJ at the end of round one. TJ missed two punches, and Cody made him pay big time, put him down. A little bit of ground and pound right at the end of the round. And TJ
yep.
got up and was very wobbly. I mean, you saw him. He was wobbling all the way back to his corner. And I like what TJ said afterwards. He's like, hey, man, you can't condition your chin. He's like, you can only condition your body and make yourself recover faster. But you can't condition yourself to take that kind of a shot. And that was pretty obvious. I really like that. He wasn't just bluffing, oh, it didn't really hurt me. This and that. He said, hey, he was giving Cody props there. I like that.
I mean, but he's absolutely right. Either you have a chin or you don't.
Yes.
You cannot learn how to take a punch. Either you can take a punch or you can't.
Yes.
But if you
well,
know
you
how,
can learn how. You can learn how to minimize it. You can. You can learn better defense. You can learn how to minimize the effect, you know, rolling with it. Putting your chin down. There's a lot of things you can do. Cody, as everybody saw, he fights with his chin straight up in the air because he really believes in his chin. Unfortunately, this was the first time it didn't pay out for him. Doesn't mean he's not a good fighter. He just, oh, well, you know, he got caught. He's going to have to learn how to put his chin down a little bit and not rely on it because guys like that, like Chuck Liddell was the same way. He didn't care if you hit him. His chin was so good. There at the end, he had no chin. It was too late for him to really learn how to defend the punches. Had he learned defense early on, who knows what would have happened, right?
Right.
Yeah.
But
Cody still had a good fight. I mean, that second round, Cody looked just as good. TJ caught him with that first kick. Now, I thought that was a fluke. I thought Cody was backing up or something. I didn't realize, because I didn't see it in slow motion until later on, I didn't realize how flush that kick was.
Oh, that kick was just square right to the jaw. Just
yeah. For some reason, my buddies and I, we thought maybe Cody was backing up when the kick hit him because when he went down, he popped up quick. He didn't even look like he felt it. So I thought, oh, he must have just glanced that kick or something, right?
That was a solid kick. But
What would that kick, Jason, just to put it in perspective, if TJ Dillashaw hit you with that kick, what would happen?
I would probably knock my jaw to my ear to where my ear should be.
Be like Daffy Duck?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I would wake up about 20 minutes later asking what happened and what day it was.
Yeah, as you're rearranging your face back to where it should be, like Daffy Duck.
Yeah, I'd be like, why is my face hurt? What day is this? What the hell is going on? Oh, man. But Cody popped right back up. He did. He really did. I thought, I mean, it didn't look like it. I mean, it knocked him down, but he was right back up, clear-eyed and everything.
But we all know there's bad blood here.
Yes.
They used to be sparring partners, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
Yes.
So there's a lot of bad blood between those two. And that makes a lot of sense why they were trying to kill each other, and one of them wanted a first-round knockout.
Yes.
If this was just a normal fight between two guys trying to go after a belt, I think they would have been a little more reserved in that first round.
Yes.
But since there was such bad blood between these two, that makes a lot of sense on why they were trying to knock each other's head off.
Yes, very much. And even after that, you know, they were going at it, and Cody missed one big punch. TJ completely ruined them with that hook. I mean, you saw Cody. His eyes completely rolled in the back of his head. TJ rained down the blows, and they finally stopped it. It was, it had to be stopped. And TJ, for his part, didn't gloat too much. I mean, he got right in Cody's face after that, but he didn't just run around gloating over the whole thing, you know. It was a good end to the feud. And I don't know about you, Jason, but I honestly, I think if these guys fight 10 times, they'll each win 5 of them. I don't think anyone is that much better than the other.
No. And I think a lot of it has to feud with that bad blood between them.
Yes.
It's these two guys physically hate each other.
Yes.
But that makes a great rivalry.
It does, and the fact that these two guys are so good and so close in skill, it's. I really think we're going to see the best trilogy fight, those two guys. You know, assuming Cody wins the next fight, I truly believe that will be the best trilogy we'll ever see, even if every fight doesn't go 5 rounds or whatever. I think just the fact that if they fight 3 times, it'll be 3 of the best fights we ever see. Because that was a great fight, even though it was only – you know, less than 2 full rounds. It was a great fight.
Oh. I mean, I don't know how to put it any better. You got a little bit of everything in that fight. And that's what made it so great. Plus, you got two guys that just can't stand each other.
No, it was, yeah. So now we're going to get on to Rose Namajunas versus Johanna Jędrzejczyk. What? Now, leading up to the fight, I'll just give you a little backup. Johanna was a complete bitch. She was ripping on everything about Rose. Her mental health, her mental conditioning, her boyfriend. She's going to dominate her. Johanna called herself the boogeyman, and she's coming for Rose. And what did Rose do this whole time? She did absolutely nothing. She stood there, stared at her, and just shrugged it off. Didn't care. Never once took the bait. What did you think of that, first of all?
Well, I mean, that's just showing you that what Johanna was trying to put into her head. We all know Johanna tries to get into your head long before the fight even starts. So if she's able to get in someone's head, She's already won 9/10 of the battle.
Yeah.
Rose didn't let that happen.
No, she didn't. And Johanna tried and tried and tried. And, you know, I've been watching Johanna for a while. You and I both have. We've seen her since she came into the UFC. I like her. Except her attitude towards these fights has gotten worse and worse and worse. It started off with her getting in their opponent's faces, and then it started trash talking, and it just got worse and worse, and it's just stupid. It really is. This lady says how much she respects these girls, and yet she goes out there, and it's just horrible. It's ridiculous. And I don't understand the need for that kind of stuff. I really don't.
I mean, trash talk's trash talk. I mean, that's going to happen. I don't care what sport you play.
Yeah.
Trash talk's going to happen. It's just, it's not, sports are, it's not like it used to be. You're going to have the trash talk. But when you start talking about physical ailments, or you want to bring family into it, or things along that line, you've already crossed the line for me.
Yeah, exactly.
You just don't do that.
Yeah.
I mean,
no, there's no reason.
Talk, keep it to the ring. I mean, one of the biggest trash talkers in UFC is Conor McGregor. But never heard dive into family, dive into mental ailment, anything like that. He just flat out says, mm-hmm. I'm going to kick your ass, and what do you think about that? And that's where Johanna should keep it. Now, what I thought was already broken wasn't broken. She needed to win this fight to tie Ronda Rousey.
Do you think that might have played a little bit into it? Do you think there was a little extra pressure on Johanna?
Yes. She needed this fight to tie Ronda Rousey for the most title defenses at 6. Johanna was at 5. That's why she said she was wanting to take 2 more fights at this belt, because she wanted to tie it and then break it, and then she was going to move up.
Yeah.
I think that had a lot to play in it. And I think she put a lot more pressure on herself than what needed to be. I mean, if Johanna would have played her game like Johanna normally does, Johanna beats her. Might have been a decision, but I honestly think she beats Rose.
I don't know. I mean, she didn't even have time to play her game because it just happened so fast.
She let her guard down.
Yeah.
That's something you've never seen from Johanna. Yeah, she's been taken down a lot more than normal in the last few fights, like you put out.
mm-hmm.
But that really didn't do anything. She still ended up winning the fight. I mean, a win is a win. It doesn't matter how you come about it.
Yeah.
But a loss is a loss, too.
Yes.
And, you know, the way she handled the loss, you know, I got to give her a little respect. So,
yeah, I don't like this. I'm going to trash talk your family, you know, your boyfriend, you, your mental health. And then as soon as it's over, well, I love Rose. I respect her so much. No, that's not true. You don't make fun of someone's mental health state if you respect them. You do not do that.
No.
Regardless of fighting them or what, you just don't. And in my opinion, I don't give a fuck if she lost. I'm glad she got knocked out. I really am. I don't care what anybody thinks about that either. I truly am. If you want to say,
no,
I'm a beater, I'm a better player, I'm better at this, I'm better at this, I'm just going to beat her, great, I'm super happy for you. But when you have to go to a personal attack like that, I just look at you as mentally weak. If you have to go that far to build yourself up to that fight, that's a mental weakness on yourself. You know, she's showing that she's mentally weak. Rose is definitely not mentally weak. 100% she's not weak mentally.
Nope. No. She had herself mentally ready and physically for this fight. And a lot of people probably won't agree with me. I think Johanna beat herself. I think she had so much of this record tied up into her head that she ended up dropping her guard. I could be wrong.
You know, like I said, I told you earlier, I told my buddies when we were betting on the fights, my thing is about Johanna, besides her attitude, put that aside, she's still a terrific, terrific fighter.
You don't go 14-0 by not being a terrific fighter. And she's ran through this division. It's not like she has dodged anybody.
Yeah.
She has taken
she's fought with that.
She has taken every fight thrown.
Yeah, she is a badass. But in each of her last 4 fights now, she's been knocked down. And once that starts happening, once the fighters start getting knocked down a lot, if that chin's starting to go, it's just not going to go anywhere. It's not getting any better with age, with, you know, more punching, more hitting. It's not going to get better. And that's just a fact of fighting. Once it starts to go, it goes. I don't know if her chin's going, but she was getting knocked down an awful lot, and she didn't get hit that hard by Rose that she should have been knocked down. Rose didn't load up and land a big bomb. So
That's one thing to be concerned about.
I've always had a little concern about Johanna's, not strength or stamina, but her power.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's never had what you want to call knockout power.
Not one-punch knockout power, for sure. And getting back to the chin, let's not forget, besides 14-0, she had an extensive kickboxing career. That's just a lot of, you know, accumulated wear and tear.
Well, it's kind of like Holly Holm with all those years of boxing she had. You know, don't you think that played a toll in her later years of MMA, just all the wear and tear she put on her body through boxing? Now,
yeah, because it doesn't like Holly. She doesn't seem to handle a punch very well. You know, it doesn't take too many punches to rattle Holly. So, moving on, Stephen Thompson versus Jorge Masvidal. What'd you think of that fight?
I felt so sorry for Jorge Masvidal. Oh God.
He looked out of place, and Jorge is a good fighter. He's very, very good. And he didn't look like he belonged there at all, did he?
No. He looked so out of place. And I was rooting for him because I've been a fan of Jorge's for a while. But I don't want to say this. He needs to hang him up. He can't stand with these young bucks anymore.
Well, yeah, Thompson, he was so much bigger. You know, Thompson's cutting a lot of weight to get down there.
He had
a 4-inch height advantage.
I mean, he was like he was toying with Masvidal. It was just
he was doing his thing. Now Masvidal did have one good spot at round two when he finally bullied him to the fence and caught him there. And actually he landed two or three good shots before Thompson could run. Because that's what, not that he runs, but that's what Thompson does. He'll hit you and he runs. Not run, again, hit and move. And that's his style. But Masvidal was able to stop him, you know, cut off the cage and get him cornered, and he landed some good shots. He just could not keep that up. Thompson was too fast and was just, he was just in and out so fast. He couldn't keep up.
No, Jorge didn't even belong in that ring with him.
No. Another guy that didn't belong, Johnny Hendricks and Paulo Costa.
Oh, my Lord.
What the heck's happened to Hendricks? This is, you know what? This is why another reason I thought GSP had a very, very good chance to win was when GSP fought Hendricks 4 years ago. Hendricks was, in most people's opinion, enhanced, okay? Hendricks had a complete bomb of a left hand. You could hit Hendricks with anything you wanted, and he didn't even notice it. Never got tired. And as soon as USADA took over, Hendricks went downhill. He's now 3 wins, 6 losses in his last 9 fights since that fight. You know, ever since USADA came in, Hendricks is one of those guys that I'm pretty sure, you know, he misses weight all the time now. It doesn't take very much to knock him out, unlike what it used to. He didn't get knocked out. It's just a different fighter. And GSP was able to take Hendricks had to offer and didn't go down and still won. I was thinking, I don't care how big Bisping is, he doesn't hit as hard as Hendricks did when he was enhanced. So GSP's probably not getting knocked out here. But Hendricks just looks like a shell of what he was.
Yeah, oh yeah, I completely agree. But that's what happens when you take a guy off juice.
Yeah.
So
you know who's a real good example of that is Bigfoot Silva. Bigfoot had what was the fight of the year versus Mark Hunt. And that was a crazy good fight. If you go watch that, those two guys just went at it for 5 rounds. What a fight. You didn't think either one of them could be knocked out. And I believe it ended in a draw.
And Bigfoot got flagged. Everybody knew he was on testosterone. He had to be on testosterone replacement because of his glandular disorder, gigantism. They did a surgery, removed part of his pituitary gland. He needs it to regulate himself. He's one of the few fighters that actually did need it, unlike a lot of the guys that didn't really need it, just wanted the,
right.
you know, the benefits. So they took him off testosterone. And he goes in there, fights Mark Hunt again a year later, whatever, gets knocked out in 45 seconds. It was just ridiculous. The change in the fighter, you know, you put him on testosterone, he beat Fedor. Take him off, Mark Hunt knocks him out in 30 seconds. It's crazy. That stuff is, I don't care what anybody says, that stuff does wonders for you.
Oh, yeah. Yep, it does. And just kind of like, you know, any type of enhancer, HGH, straight steroids, testosterone, anything you put in your body as an enhancer, it's going to work to your advantage. I don't care what sport you play. I mean, hell, look at Barry Bonds, for instance. He wasn't that big when he played for Pittsburgh. I mean, does that
he sure got big by the time he played for the Giants.
I mean, does that say what? I mean, he was already a great baseball player prior to that. I mean, that doesn't take away outside of his power. That doesn't take away his hand-eye coordination.
Nope.
Actually, I hear when you get on that stuff, your hand-eye coordination goes to shit, but your power goes up twice as fast. It takes a little while for your hands to react to your brain. But,
yeah.
Barry always had a great hand-eye coordination. That you can't take away from that. But what you
he was
take
very
away
good.
From is the size of his head, how bad he blew up. You don't go from just hitting 20 to 30 home runs a year to hitting 60 to 70 in just a year. I mean, come on.
And think how many he would have hit if they'd have pitched to him.
Yeah.
If they didn't walk him 200 times.
Yeah, 1 year he got intentionally walked 170-something times. Major League record.
200.
But whatever it was. That's 200 at bats taken away from you. And he still hit 60 to 70 home runs.
73. If they had let him hit in those 200 walks, he probably would have had at least, and this is conservative, 20 more home runs. I'm saying at least probably more. He probably would have had 100. I'm just saying if they would have given him 200 more at-bats, I could easily have seen Bonds hitting 100 home runs that season.
No, he wasn't going to hit a home run every other at-bat. I would say a good 20 to 30, but
20 to 30, he only
needed 100 home runs a year.
He only Jason. He only needed 27 more to make 100. He had 73 in 500 at-bats. He had 73. 27 more out of 200-plus walks. That's only 13.5 home runs per 100 at-bats. He was at that level. He was on pace for that, for sure. He was over.
Actually, he was.
His pace?
He was actually hitting
500 at-bats.
Hitting
listen. He was hitting 25 home runs per almost, what was he hitting? 15 home runs per 100.
Averaging one home run per every eight plate appearances.
He didn't have 500 at-bats. I'm just rounding up. Okay? If that was the case, he would have had 40 home runs. He had 73. So he was almost at 16 home runs per every 100.
Well, the way his home runs broke down to his at-bats, he was averaging about a home run every 8 at-bats. But like you said, he had 200 at-bats taken away from him because of intentional walks.
Yeah.
I've never seen a pitcher or a manager intentionally walk a guy with the bases loaded.
No, that's crazy.
But, you know, it is what it is. I mean, hell, look at Roy Jones Jr.
Yeah.
That guy can't get away from himself. He just can't stay off of it. He thinks he's smart. USADA is a little bit smarter than he is.
Let's see, hold on. He had 476 at bats, okay? That year in 2001. 476. And 73 home runs. Let me see how many walks.
Well, it don't matter. A walk.
177 walks. 177 walks.
I was about right on point. I said 170-something walks.
So 476 divided by 73. Hold on 1 second. Let me figure that math out. That means every 6.5 at-bats, he's got a home run.
Okay, I was a little high. I said every 8. So.
Yeah.
That just
now
shows
you add.
What?
Hold on. 6.5. So, 476 plus 177. That's 653. That's exactly 100 home runs. Fucking exactly. 100.4. I told you. I fucking said.
Yeah.
He would have been on pace for 100 home runs.
Mm.
Could I have got any closer, Jason?
Well, could I got any closer on his walks that year?
That's true.
I'm just saying. I was just doing that math in my head, and
we both know, for guys our age, to do math in our head, it's not easy anymore.
And we were pretty
you know?
Close. I was just doing that.
I was just doing that ahead. Yeah.
That was about home run. I, you know, like you said, every 6.5 at bats, so say every 7. I said 8. I mean, that just, but he was taking HGH.
Yes.
There's only one way to test for HGH. You can't do it by a blood test. You have to do it by a spinal tap. And the Major League Baseball Players Association wasn't going to let that happen.
I don't think they ever would.
No, it's too dangerous. The one slip of that needle,
you
paralyze the guy.
Yeah, I would never take that way. Okay.
He was only taking that because he was recovering from elbow injuries and knee injuries, and he was able to come back faster. The recovery time for injuries is cut down almost in half.
Yeah. So, we're going to get back to MMA now. We had our little baseball sidetrack. Is the game still going on, the football game?
Yeah, you guys are getting killed.
We're going to update you a little bit, ladies and gentlemen. Green Bay Packers, are playing the Detroit Lions. What's the score?
In Lambeau Field of all.
Yeah.
17-3 Lions going into the fourth.
Yeah. My Packers are not doing very well. They lost their starting quarterback, so it is what it is. It might be a rebuilding season. It's all right.
It's a lot better than my Niners. We're 0-9, dude. We're 0-9ers.
Yeah, I was gonna say. What are the Packers? Their record's 4-4, it's gonna be 4-4 now?
I'd have to look up. But that just shows you how valuable Aaron Rodgers is to that team.
Yeah. But, yeah, you're right. The Niners are 0-9, and we might even go see them play this year against the Titans. Tickets are so cheap, I just don't see why we wouldn't go, to be honest.
Let's just go.
It'll be fun.
Hey,
I don't care if they lose. I still like the Niners. What's that?
I said, why don't we just go? It'll be fun. I mean, the atmosphere is awesome as shit.
Well, you know, did you see how many people were there last weekend? There was nobody there.
But what we're going to do this time is we're going to get there early. We're going to bring our own barbecue, and we'll take my truck down so we can put everything in the back, and we'll do our own little barbecue. I'll bring all my beer, put it in the cooler. We'll do our own little tailgate right out the parking lot, like everyone does.
Yeah, but this time we're getting a hotel room, because I am not driving back after a game. That sucks.
Well, luckily the game's at 1:25. It's not at night. The game will be over by 4.
Well, what time was our game? It started like at 7, didn't it?
It started at it was like 5:30. It was 5:30. So the game didn't get over with until almost 9, and then you had to try to get me out of the stadium without killing
yourself.
And
that wasn't easy. Yeah. Yeah, that'll be more fun.
What you could do is you'll stay the night here, Saturday night. We'll leave at 7 o'clock. We'll be down there by 10. Leave here by 6:30, 7 o'clock. Be down there by 9:30, 10 o'clock. And we'll just tailgate till the gates open. Bring some burgers and dogs and barbecue. Well, doing it that way, it saves us a lot of money and food inside the stadium. And it saves the beer cost for me.
Yes, very true.
$10
all
a
right.
beer.
So,
I'd rather bring a. That's I'd rather bring
we
15
could,
pack of beer.
Yeah, we could talk Niners all day, even though they suck, or Packers, even though they don't know how to win anymore. But this is actually an MMA show. You wouldn't know it from the last 20 minutes. So we're gonna get back to it. So it was a great weekend for MMA. Name the two things. What are the two best things that you saw this weekend in MMA, Jason?
Well, on the main card. Now, I might be wrong, but I don't think I've ever seen anything like this in an MMA card. I don't believe went to a decision.
Masvidal and Thompson did.
Okay. But all three title fights, not one of them went to a decision. They were all knockouts or submission.
Yeah. Not one of them got to the third round or finished three rounds. I mean, GSP and Bisping got to three, but they didn't finish three.
And this is another good point. All the underdogs lost, and everyone who held the belt lost the belt.
No, the underdog.
That's what,
Rose was the biggest underdog. She was a plus 500 and something, and she won.
It don't matter.
So
it
you
don't
bet,
matter.
If you were on Johanna, bet. Yeah.
Johanna,
but if we
Johanna
had bet $100 on Rose, that's a $500 win.
Yeah.
That would have been nice.
All the title holders got beat. Exciting for me. All the title fights. Not one of them ended up in a decision. That was exciting for me.
I really saw two decisions. I thought Johanna versus Rose was going to go to a decision,
Go ahead.
Yeah. No, I really thought those two fights were going to go to a decision, but they didn't. It was a great night. I was really surprised at the fact that in all three of those title fights, the instigator, the one talking the most crap, the one trying to sell the fight the hardest, Johanna, Cody. Cody released footage of sparring with TJ. He hated him so much. All he could talk about was TJ the snake, TJ this, TJ that. Johanna, you know, we already talked about all the shit she said. Bisping was constantly going at GSP. I'm bigger than you. I'm better. The size matters. This and just constant. Three of the loudmouths got knocked the fuck out.
I wish I could have been at that fight, and I wanted to be right on top of Michael Bisping and just yell, like, have you ever seen that movie Friday?
Yes.
You just got knocked the fuck out, man. Just rub it. Oh, God, I can't.
Now, hey,
this is the things I wanted to talk about. When Johanna was fighting, for one, did Big John look like half his regular self or what?
Not really. He looked like
he looked like
stoned.
He lost about 60 fucking pounds.
Well, to me, he looked fucking stoned.
I'm going to put it out right now. I think Big John had gastric bypass surgery. I really do.
He might have.
He was getting a little portly, and all of a sudden he's dropped about 60 pounds. It doesn't happen that fast. I honestly think Big John had gastric bypass. That's got to be what's wrong with him. He dropped a lot of weight.
It don't matter.
He still interjected himself in the fight. He still jumped in. You did see that, right? When Big John tapped Rose in the back as she was pounding out Johanna. But he didn't stop it. Now, when a referee goes to stop a fight, he doesn't just tap the fighter on top and the back. He has to get in between them, doesn't he?
He usually pulls the other fighter off of him and say, fight's done, and waves his hand.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a referee just tap the fighter on the back and let them decide when to stop punching?
No, I've never seen that. Big John McCarthy, I think, was about half stoned. He didn't look like himself, dude.
No, he looked – this is what I'm saying. He looked really different. His whole body, everything about him looked different Saturday night.
He really did.
He looked huge. Yeah, he looked like something was going on. Maybe he's been sick or what. I don't know.
But he caught something that you and I didn't even catch. I didn't see Johanna tap out.
He didn't say she tapped out. Remember when Bruce Buffer asked, and Bruce Buffer announced it as a knockout? Big John said, Bruce Buffer asked. Big John said, knockout. He didn't say tap out. He said knockout. So Johanna said she tapped. Nobody else. I didn't see her tap. I'm not saying she didn't, but I don't think even Big John saw her tap right then. She may have.
I didn't see her.
But they were considering it a knockout.
I don't know. All I know is that was a great fight. It doesn't matter.
That fight wasn't actually that great, no. I mean, Rose just dominated. It wasn't even a great fight.
That's the beauty of it. Johanna, I mean, as much as I love watching her fight and all that, I love seeing a loudmouth get her ass handed to her. And that's what happened to Johanna. That's what happened to Bisping. That's what happened to the other title fight. Like you said, I didn't even think about it that way. All the loudmouths got their asses beat.
Yeah.
And you can't take anything away from the winners. They went in there. They did their job. They got it done. And you know what? There's no conspiracy here. Like you've seen in past title fights. There's no conspiracy here. All the champions got their asses beat. Say, will these not make for great rematches in the future? Oh, yeah. And I think all three of them, you'll see a rematch somewhere down the line.
I really think so, but Johanna seems to be the one that thinks she's getting immediate rematch. You think that's going to happen?
That's very possible, I think. That could be very possible. Because that would just drop Johanna to the number one contender. I mean, that can't drop her to number two or number three, right?
I would like to see her, you know, with the way she lost, when you lose by knockout like that, I think you need to have another fight. I would like to see, I don't like the immediate rematch shit. You know, I don't care what she's done, this and that. She lost, she got knocked out.
Let make her go get a fight. Give her one fight. If she wins it, great. Then rematch. Other than that, I don't like immediate rematches.
You and I, you know, in some cases I do, in some cases I don't. But I was talking to a guy last night, and you and I have always been asked. You know, we've always wondered, how do mandatory work in boxing? So someone explained it to me.
Uh-huh.
And the reason they have this, it's all legal bullshit in boxing. So once you become a mandatory, and all three sanctioning bodies, they've got to agree upon this. Once you become a mandatory, and the boxing, you know, IBF, IB, you know, WBA, what have you, says, no, you can't get the title fight, you could sue those sanctioning bodies and you will win.
Oh, wow.
So that means that's why when I've always said you cannot duck a mandatory, because the sanctioning bodies will not let you duck a mandatory. Because if you get ducked, you can actually sue the sanctioning bodies that actually put you as a mandatory. So, yes, that's what makes boxing so good, is because they do go by a ranking system. I wish UFC would do this and not just think about their pocketbook.
Yeah, exactly.
There's a lot of fighters out there that deserve a title shot that haven't gotten one yet. Romero's one of them.
Well, he did have his title shot because he got the interim title shot with Whitaker.
Okay, but he's probably deserved. He's been lying for a title fight for a while, but they won't give it to him. Why? He's probably gotten on Dana White's bad side.
Yeah. You know what I would love to see, to be honest? The match made, I would love to see them match Bisping and Romero up next. Both are coming off a loss. A lot of bad blood. Let them go at it.
Now, this is one of the questions I wanted to ask you earlier, and I told you I'd present this to you. Could be a potential super fight.
Yeah.
And I think this could happen. GSP and Conor McGregor.
I think that'd be fun.
Who would you take in that fight, or who would you think would win?
GSP. To be honest,
you think he's got the chin to withstand the power of a punch from Conor? Because Conor could pack a punch. We all know that.
There's no way. Conor hits hard, but there's no way he hit harder than Hendricks did at 170. No way. And GSP, he took Bisping, who walks around at 200 pounds down, easily. Okay, easily. He's going to take Conor down, who doesn't have anywhere near the takedown defense. Conor was ragdolled by Chad Mendez, 145-pound Chad Mendez. He was ragdolled by that guy. GSP is going to absolutely do whatever he wants with him.
Do you think that's a fight that UFC would ever allow to happen? Now, I think they're going to have to come in agreement where I think Conor might have to go up to 170 where he fought Nate Diaz at.
Yeah.
And that means GSP is going to have to fight at the 170 weight class, which I don't think that would be an issue.
I don't know if they would allow it. You know, they're trying to get respectable, and that would be a tough sell to a 155 champion and a 185 champion. Can they meet at 170 just for a super fight? Yeah, and that'd be a fun one. But Conor won his lightweight title almost a year ago now, in December of this year. So
yep.
Or last year, sorry. So it's been almost a full year and has not defended it, has not even spoken about defending it. I really think his next fight's going to be Tony. And GSP, he's got Robert Whittaker, the interim champion, sitting there waiting. Now, Whittaker is coming off an injury. That's why he's on the sidelines, and that's why GSP slid in. Is GSP going to now go? You know, he said he wanted to drop to 155 and take that title. And can GSP do that? You think, you know, the guy that walked in at 185 can drop 30 pounds healthy? I don't know.
Well,
it's an interesting fight. I really think that's the fight that's the reason they didn't announce the next fight for Conor. You know, we're hearing stuff about Conor. He says he's not fighting for the UFC again unless they co-promote with him. That means making him a co-promoter means he's going to make so much money off his next fight. Because he is so powerful, not powerful like strength-wise, but he's going to bring in so much money that he wants part of that money. Instead of the UFC paying him a couple million, he believes he's making the UFC 40 or 50 million. So he wants a chunk of that, not the couple million they're giving him.
Well, and the reason he's doing that, we all know this, is the chunk he was paid for fighting Floyd Mayweather.
Which was considerable.
He made $25 million on that fight.
What's that?
He made $25 million on that fight, I think.
Oh, no, no. He made way more than that. That was probably just what he made for the fight. Once you add up the pay-per-view, they ranged it between 75 and 100 million.
He's made more money in one fight in boxing than he did in his whole career with the UFC.
Yes.
Bisping made $2.5 million on this fight. Or not Bisping, GSP did. You know how much Bisping made?
How much?
$500,000. How does that happen?
I would have thought Bisping would have made more than that.
Bisping only made $580,000. GSP made $2.5 million.
Now, he probably would have made well over $1 million had he won Bisping.
Yes, correct.
Wow.
GSP was going to make $1.2 million win, place, or show in that fight.
Okay.
GSP GSP, yeah, was going to make $1.2 million. Bisping was only going to make $580,000, win or lose. Now, of course, it might be up over $1 million once you add the pay-per-view buys in this.
Yeah.
But for a title holder, how can you give the underdog that much money? That just doesn't make any sense to me. For an underdog
that is
to
weird.
Make that much money.
Well, it's because of his history. You know, 25-2, retired as a champion, never lost the belt, that's why.
I don't know. Well, your Packers were trying to make it interesting. They made it 20-10, and then they just let Detroit march down the field. Now it's 27-10. Now it's back to a 17-point game.
Stop talking. No more. No
All
more
right,
Packers.
I told you. No more Packers.
Seriously. I'm gonna start making fun of you. You do that.
You can make fun of the Niners. How many rings the Niners got compared to the Packers?
They got one more ring. One more.
Wait. Don't matter.
Five
one more is one more.
Actually, they might be tied.
No, it's 5-4.
I think they're tied.
No, it's 5-4. Look it up.
Are you sure?
Yeah, because the Niners are two behind the Steelers, and the Steelers have 7.
Yeah, but I think the Packers have 5. They won the first 2, and then one more, and then Brett Favre won 1, and then Rodgers won 1.
I will look that up right now.
Look that up. I'm pretty sure it's 5-5.
how many rings
No, the Packers only won four.
NFL championship.
The Niners got four.
97. Yeah, 66, 67, 97, and 2011.
Yeah, 66, 67 were Super Bowls 1 and 2, and then the one with Favre,
yep.
And then the one with the Rangers.
Yeah. And the Niners have got five.
Five.
I think
yeah.
Niners and the Cowboys are tied at five, and then you got the Steelers at seven.
Nice.
But
okay, so
you guys,
we are about done.
One thing I have.
We are almost done with the show.
Yeah, I know, but let me finish, fucker.
Nobody needs to hear you talking about the Packers anymore.
It's not about the Packers.
Okay, then go ahead.
I do have to congratulate. She is actually a friend of our show, Maureen Shea. She had a out down in Tijuana over the weekend. She did win. I just want to say congratulations to her. And I hear her next fight is set up for December 1st, but we don't know who she's fighting yet.
Mm-hmm.
But I just want to say congratulations.
And Jason is going to try and see if she's available next week for our show. I listened to her this morning on Morning Cup of Sports here on Radio AFS, and it was a terrific interview. She talked about her fight this weekend, about her fight coming up in December. It was very, very interesting. And Jason's going to go after and see if he can't get her on next week for us, because we've had her on before. She is a terrific interview. Very, very knowledgeable, very interesting lady. It would be a crazy good interview. Beyond that, it was it was a terrific weekend for MMA. Next weekend's going to be the same thing. We have Bellator 187, UFC Fight Night 120. We got LFA, I don't know what number they are. I can't remember the LFA number, but there's another Legacy Fighting Alliance fight on. It's just a terrific weekend coming up. Bellator 187, is featuring AJ McKee versus Brian Moore, both undefeated. UFC Fight Night is Dustin Poirier versus Anthony Pettis. We're going to see the retirement fight of Matt Brown. Yeah, Matt Brown's final fight against Diego Sanchez.
No,
Rafael
Sanchez
was going to be
there. Brought up.
What's that?
I like the first fight you brought up in that UFC Fight Night.
Yeah, Dustin Poirier versus Anthony Pettis is going to be badass.
That's
going to
be a
Lozon is going to be going on. John Dodson versus Marlon Moraes. That's a great fight. Tatiana Suarez is in there. Nina Ansaroff versus Angela Hill. That's a fun one. Sage Northcutt. There's some good fights on that fight night. The Bellator card, I haven't seen the full card yet. I know Baby Slice is going to be on there and AJ McKee. So they're kind of bringing out the up-and-comers. So that's kind of cool.
That is kind of cool. So,
yeah. So what do you think? Real quick, okay? I'm going to give you three fights off that UFC card. You just tell me win or lose.
Okay.
Or who's going to win, who's going to lose. Poirier versus Pettis.
Poirier in a decision.
What's that?
Poirier in a decision.
Okay. Matt Brown versus Diego Sanchez.
Diego Sanchez.
Really?
I'm taking the underdog.
That's cool. Let me see. Rafael Assunção versus Matthew Lopez.
I don't know much about these fighters, but I will go Lopez.
I'm going Assunção. So that's two we disagree on. Clay Guida versus Joe Lozon.
I don't know anything about those fighters right there.
How could you not know anything about those guys? Clay Guida has been an MMA forever. Joe Lozon has more fight night. I'm going Clay Guida, though.
But you know me, I just got back into this game about a year and a half ago, so it's taking me a while to get up to date.
No, John Dodson versus Marlon Moraes.
Ooh. I like both those fighters. What's that?
That's on the undercard.
I'm going to take Dodson in that fight.
I'm going with the underdog. I'm taking Marlon Moraes. But it's going to be a good one. That's a good one. All right. So we are at the end of our show, ladies and gentlemen. Tune in next week. We will talk to you all about Bellator 187 and UFC Fight Night 120 and hopefully a little LFA in there. And we will talk to Jason some more and find out what he thinks about this, if he was right, if he was wrong. Most of the time, both of us are 50-50. It's really hit and miss. I'm pretty sure we'd have to go back and listen to it, but I thought Jason actually picked Rose last week and TJ and GSP. I was pretty sure when I talked to Jason that Jason had picked all three winners in the title fight. He doesn't remember too well. He drinks a lot, I think. That's the problem. But
no,
I thought, Jason, I really thought you picked all three winners.
I 2-1. I mean, actually, if you go back, I know I picked Hendricks, and I know I picked Masvidal. So I was always
no. I'm talking just the main event, just the three title fights. I thought you had all three title fights, though.
I want to say I was 2-1.
Okay.
I want to say I.
So you have the same record.
I know for a fact I picked Johanna. I don't know why I would ever go against her at this point. She's one of my favorite fighters in MMA.
Okay, so we were both 2-1 on those title fights. Not bad.
What? Who did you lose on? Who did you lose on?
Johanna.
Oh, you had her pick too.
Yeah, I didn't want her to, but I picked her.
I had her winning. Well, I had her. I think I even picked her in a decision because that's how she normally wins her fights. But
yeah. Okay. Well. Tune in next week.
I cannot stand Bisping. I just don't like it.
No, we all can't. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, tune in next week. And like I said, we will go over all the rest of the MMA stuff, Bellator, UFC, and LFA. For that, we will talk to you next week.